You may be wondering why you should listen to a guy who's only been a parent for less than 3 years, but let me put your worries to rest. Ask anyone who knows me, and they will tell you that I'm operating at the maturity level of about a fifth grader, okay? So I know how they think, all right? I know what they're into. It's true, it is. Please pray for my wife. No, but yeah, tonight I really hope, my hope is, my prayer has been, that we can get to something of the heart of Christian parenting. I hope that we can see the amazing gift that family is and how it is preparing us for an eternity spent with God as his sons and daughters. So before we read, let's pray. Father, I ask that you would speak tonight, that you would open up your heart to us, and that we would see you for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. And so tonight, we're just going to have two parts. Part one is going to be about children, and part two is going to be about parents. Pretty straightforward. And so we'll begin with the children. The children, right? We think of little children, but I really think this is, of course, a letter to the church, to grown-ups. I think this children here is for grown-ups as well as little children, right? We are all a child of a mother and a father. We don't cease to be that when we turn 18 or wherever you want to draw the line. And our duties to our parents look different as we age, but we always have a duty to obey and honor our earthly parents, right? And as we discuss submission and obeying, I want us to bring to mind Ben's teaching from last week. He spent a lot of time discussing submission and how it works in the kingdom of God. First of all, we want to remember that all authority belongs to Jesus Christ, right? He is head over all things, and he establishes earthly authority, like parents, as an extension of his authority. But none can take place of his authority. It's crucial. All authority is from him. He gives all authority. Yet Jesus is the best submitter of all time, right? All of history hinges on this moment, his death and resurrection, when he chose to submit to the will of God. In fact, he tells us to become like little children, right? So I hope that we have all that in the back of our minds as we talk about children and parenting, because it's so crucial. Also want to bring us back. You know, we've been going through Ephesians very slowly, and it's been beautiful. But I want to make sure that we're remembering the earlier part of the letter, so we're not taking this just completely compartmentalized. Let's take a second and do a quick survey of Ephesians up to this point, paying attention to the father-child language throughout. And so I've picked three sections that stand out to me, but it is marbled throughout the whole letter, I think, as we've seen. I'm going to read these passages because these instructions about children and parenting are in the context of heavenly realities that have been revealed to us earlier in the letter, right? And this is key, I believe, to obeying our parents in the Lord, as the scripture says. So this is Ephesians 1:3-6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons to himself through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Amen. And then Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Hallelujah. And then Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And so up to this point, what do I know about fathers and their children from the book of Ephesians? I know that God is my heavenly Father, and I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing I could possibly need. I know that I have been adopted as a son or daughter, and that I have an inheritance in Christ. I know that God's immeasurable power is working for my good. I know that I have been reconciled to God, and I'm a member of the household of God. And I know that God wants to do for me more than I could ever imagine, right? Amen. Amen. And so we see that God, that Paul, I guess, inspired by the Holy Spirit, commands us to, he says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And you know, when I first read this, I it was a bit puzzling to me. I couldn't understand the significance of this being the first commandment with a promise. Well, what did that mean? Like, what is Paul trying to say? Why is it significant, you know? When you go back and you look at the Ten Commandments, right, this is... honor your father and mother is commandment number 5. And 1, 2, and 3, the commandments preceding it, really have to do with putting off Egypt. There are, number 1 is, you shall have no other gods before me. Then you shall not make for yourself a carved image. And then you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, right? These have to do with putting off sin and putting off the dead man. Right? But when we get to this commandment, we don't see a prohibition, but rather a positive vision, right? That it may go well with you in the land. And this is, of course, the promised land, right? God is saying, in my kingdom, in this land that I have prepared for you, in my kingdom, children honor their parents. Right? That's how it works. This is what I, God, am after, and this gets to the heart of who I am. That is, I think, what he's trying to communicate here. And this is so crucial. You know, as we have seen throughout this letter, Father-Son is an eternal pattern that is reflected in God himself. Right? There has always been the Father and the Son, and there always will be. Thus, children are told, honor your father and mother, and obey your parents in the Lord, right? We do this because it pleases God and it echoes eternal truths. It's not just a check on a checklist, right? It's not arbitrary that we're to honor our parents. It gets to something deep in who God is. And we know that our relationship with our parents shapes us deeply, maybe more deeply than anything else in our growing up and in our life. And God, of course, he understands this because he created it to be that way. Amen. And so is it any wonder, though, that as we as a nation have turned away from the living God, we have turned into a parent disobeying, father-hating people, right? Is that any wonder? You know, our entertainment industry, as Matt Schaefer went through, our entertainment industry is constantly mocking fathers. Feminism and the LGBTs are seeking to eliminate the father and the mother now from the definition of family. Right? America is swirling with forces that are trying to get you to hate your dad. And that is just a fact. It's all around us. But we, as Christians, are called to honor our father and mother. That is very countercultural. It shouldn't be, but it is. And there are many excuses we can conjure up to try to get out of honoring our parents, right? A common one is you discover that your parents aren't perfect. But the commandment isn't honor your father and mother only if they are perfect, right? That's not the commandment. And so I want to do something real quick. I have a question for the parents in the room. If you were a perfect parent every moment and every step of the way, please raise your hand. Please. All right. She's a woman. Sorry. I'm just kidding. Okay. So besides Debbie. Besides Debbie, nobody, right? Besides Debbie, nobody. So let the record show that other than the Idens, there are no perfect parents in LCF, okay? So that means the rest of us need to learn how to honor imperfect parents, right? And I know she's kidding. All of us need to learn how to honor imperfect parents. That's just a fact. There's no one here that got off easy and gets to honor perfect parents, okay? And so that Jesus, though, gives us, luckily for us, Jesus gives us a beautiful picture of how to honor our parents, right? Jesus' first sign in John, in John chapter 2, it goes like this. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." And his mother said to his servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And so we know the rest. He goes on, he turns the water into wine. It's the best wine the people have had the whole wedding. And so we see in the story that Jesus honors his mother. He addresses her concern about the wine running out. It seems like he doesn't even really seem like it's a huge concern to him, but because his mother asks him to and raises it, he honors her and turns the water into wine. At least there's probably many other reasons, but that is one of them. And this is the story that begins Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of John. And then fast forward to John chapter 19, as Jesus is on the cross. It says, "Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home." And so Jesus, as he is suffering this cruel death on a cross, he still thinks of his mother and makes a way for her to be provided for, right? He honors her. And so we see that Christ's ministry in the Gospel of John is bookended by two instances of Jesus honoring his mother. Now, that's significant, I think. I think that again, goes that this is at deep in the heart of who God is and how Jesus lived his life. And so I learned a lot about honoring parents from my grandfather, actually. Dale is his name. Dale grew up in rural Arkansas with no electricity or indoor plumbing. And when he was 5, his dad, Charles, ran out on his mom, Aretha, and their 4 children to go live with another woman. Aretha never remarried and raised all 4 children by herself. And then one day, Charles, or Daddy Charles, as my grandpa calls him, he got cancer, he ran out of money, and the woman that he was with at the time left him. And so Daddy Charles showed up on Aretha's doorstep 30 years after leaving her to raise their four children all by herself. And Aretha took him in and took care of him until he died years later. Aretha is known as Big Mama by everyone in my family. No relation to the movies Big Mama's House or Big Mama's House 2. And when Daddy Charles was living out his last days in the hospital, Dale, my grandfather, came to see him one morning and found him with the curtains drawn and the lights off. And my grandpa said to him, "You've been thinking about the Lord, haven't you, Dad?" He nodded, "Yes." And then that day, Daddy Charles repented and gave his life to Christ. And two weeks later, he died. And so this is a central story of my family. That last part especially has been told to my brothers and I hundreds of times by my grandpa over the years. But the thing is, the part about Daddy Charles running out on Big Mama, the part about Daddy Charles, the alcoholic, the adulterer, the gambler, I've only heard that a few times. You know, when we got older, my grandpa quietly told us that part of the story. But my grandpa told the story of his father coming to Christ over and over again. He wanted to honor his father, right? So he chose to dwell on his redemption and on the good parts of his life, even if it was just 2 weeks. And so I share that because, you know, if you don't know where to start when it comes to honoring your parents, what I learned from my grandpa was start by dwelling on the good. Start by dwelling on the good in them rather than the bad. And so we turn to the parents, right? Part two. Madison, I asked her to bring me a water bottle. She thought it'd be funny if she brought me this one because I could like... Sorry about that. And so we turn to the parents, right? As chapter 6 goes on, in verse 4, it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord." I think, first of all, to point out, this was really striking to me, actually. This verse addresses fathers specifically. And I think that it is fair to say that this direction applies to mothers also. But the responsibility, when I thought about, I mean, the responsibility to bring up a child in the Lord, it really does ultimately fall with the father, right? The buck stops with him. This is in part what it means for a father to be the head of the household, right? At the end of the day, it is the husband who is accountable for the raising of his children. It's the father. And I think it would be good for us to remember that, keep that in mind. Again, that's countercultural in a lot of ways. And secondly, we should observe that it's the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, right? Of the Lord. Why? This is because our children are a gift from God. They're His. We're just stewards. Psalm 127 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." And so, therefore, we as parents, we are ultimately pointing our children to their true Father, their heavenly Father. That's what we're doing. That's our role. Nevertheless, God has given us a crucial part to play in this. And so, as we said earlier, Father-Son is an eternal pattern reflected in God Himself. And God has created the family to speak of this reality. We are to teach our children about their Heavenly Father through our parenting, right? How we treat our wives, how we treat our children, it speaks more powerfully and profoundly than any Sunday school lesson, as important as those are. You know, like they say, a picture is worth a thousand words. It's, you know, a cliche. There's obviously truth to it, though. You know, I can tell you what fatherhood is and what it should be for hours. But if you grew up with a father who lived out true godly fatherhood, you just get it in a lot of ways, right? You have that picture. Now, I was lucky enough to have that kind of father, and I'm so thankful for it, right? Because I know what it's like to have a father who loves me and protects me. And that teaches me so much about who God is, right? And I want to give that to my children so badly. I think it's fair to say that all the parents in here, that we want to give that to our children, right? And praise God, we have access to the perfect Father, right? We're not on our own. We have his very words and his very spirit in us. So we don't need to get lost in the bad parenting advice of Instagram and pop psychology, right? We look to our Heavenly Father. As we parent, we ask ourselves, what would God the Father do, right? Or what has God the Father done? This is parenting that is of the Lord, imitating our Father as beloved children, as it says in chapter 5. And so we're to bring them up in the discipline of the Lord, but not in a way that provokes wrath, right? It says, do not provoke your children to anger. In the ESV, it says, or in the KJV, it says wrath. And so to refer back to of the Lord, right? We think of God the Father's heart when it comes to discipline. In Hebrews chapter 12, 7 through 10, it says, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. Amen. And so a child left without discipline is illegitimate. So God disciplines us for our good, but he does not do it to provoke us to anger or to discourage us. Rather, it is to make us holy, it says. And as we see in the prophets over and over again, to turn his people back towards him. That's why he disciplines. And so we are to imitate him. We're to imitate our Heavenly Father in our discipline. We do it for their good. We do it for their holiness. Amen. And we see we're to bring up our children in the instruction of the Lord. And again, God instructs us in his ways. God gave his people the law to instruct them. The Psalms are full of thankfulness and praise to God for his instructions. Right? It's all through the Psalms. And in Genesis 18, as Abraham is about to intercede for Sodom, God says to himself, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. And so we're called to do the same, right? We must teach our children in the way of the world, or way of the Lord, I'm sorry, and not our own ways, but God's ways. And of course, teaching the Bible is crucial in this, but it is also showing our children how we apply it, like God is doing here with Abraham. Right? I don't want to hide. He's saying, I'm not going to hide. I don't want to hide my heart from him, and I want him to see how I'm going to act and know how I'm thinking in this situation. You know, in the world, the predominant view, I would say, is that we should allow our children to come to their own conclusions about life, especially religion. But the truth is that if we don't instruct our children in the Lord, someone else will instruct them in something else. That's just how people work. That's just how the world works. And so our call as parents is to raise our children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. You know, a few weeks before my first child, Jack, was born, an old man told me that I would not get a good night's sleep for the rest of my life. Like, the responsibility of raising children for God, it is immense. It is, and it can be overwhelming at times when you really sit down and think about it. And so in closing, I wanted to read just a few encouragements from Scripture about this. 1 John 2, I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. We know God, the perfect eternal Father, right? He will be faithful to teach us how to parent. I really believe that. I also want to point out here that this verse, it's also talking about spiritual fathers. You know, everyone in this room, whether you are single or married, whether you have children or not, you can be a spiritual father or mother. Paul was single and had no children. Jesus himself was unmarried and without any earthly children, yet we all, right now, are learning from them about fatherhood. And all Christians today are their spiritual children, right? And so regardless of what your position in life is currently, this whole message is for you. And so I think there's a few places we may find ourselves in relation to this. Maybe you haven't been honoring your father and mother, right? Maybe you've torn them down in your mind, or you've accused them of things, and you're not honoring them. That could be you. And I invite you to come down and pray for that, if that's you. Maybe you're a parent who needs to recommit themselves to raising your children for the Lord and the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. And if that's you, I invite you to come down as we worship. And the elders and the home fellowship leaders are going to be down here and helping to pray for people as they come up. I also wanted to say, though, you know, here in the next few months, we're going to do a big child dedication service. And I hope that you'll meditate on these verses as we prepare for that, as you think about your children and dedicating them. Because, you know, this really, like, that, what we're saying when we dedicate our kids is like, God, these are your children, and we're going to raise them in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, right? That's so, and that's such a powerful thing. And so I just want to invite you to meditate on this as we prepare for that, and everybody. Because it really is, like I said, it really is a church-wide thing we're doing, I think. When we dedicate our children, we're joining with them as their brothers and sisters in Christ when they do that. And so before we worship, though, I want to read Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. These are the last verses of the Old Testament. They're describing the hope that Jesus is coming to fulfill. They're describing the heart of God for his people. And so here they are. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for our children. I thank you for my children, for all the children of this church. And God, I ask that you would give children to the childless, that you would heal their bodies and give them children, bless them with children, God. We join with them as they cry out to you in that. And God, I pray that you would teach us to honor our parents, that you would teach our children to honor their parents, God, and that you would be faithful, that we would be faithful to raise our children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. And Father, I ask that we would know you in the midst of all these things. As we do these things, God, that your heart would be revealed to us and we would know you in deeper and deeper ways. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.